Thank you, Linda. And thank you, Elaine. We certainly need his peace. Good morning. Great to be with you. We're happy to be here, aren't we? Just before I get started, I just want to give a big shout out to a few of friends that made a really special effort to be here this morning. I'm humbled. I'm honored, but I'm very grateful. Thank you. And the many prayer warriors that have been praying for me, thank you. Okay. When I was a little girl living in Campo da San Giovanni, Calabria, Italy, for the geographers, that's very close to Sicily, we lived on a farm, and we had a number of farm animals on the farm. But my very favorites with these darling little lambs. They were just adorable, and I loved them. And that is why, to this very day, I cannot look at a lamb chop, let alone eat one. In any case, whenever I read about lambs in the Bible, I'm taken back to my childhood and my Calabria days. And speaking of lambs, are you familiar with the story of bummer lambs? Are you familiar with that? No. Okay, well, this is your lucky day, because you're going to hear about them now. I came across this information about bummer lambs on the internet, and I learned that within a flock of sheep, occasionally, a mother sheep will give birth to a lamb and reject it, refusing to let it nurse. This only sets the lamb on a path towards starvation, but it also shatters its spirit. They put their little necks down, and it looks like their little necks are broken. Thankfully, they are not physically broken, but they are broken in spirit. These lambs are called bummer lambs. Abandoned, isolated, and seemingly forsaken. Let's hang on to that word, forsaken. Apparently, shepherds keep a watchful eye for these rejected lambs. A compassionate shepherd, spotting one of these lambs, holds it close to his heart so that it can become familiar with his heartbeat, and he brings it into the warmth of his home, feeds it, and the lamb quickly learns the sound of the shepherd's voice. The shepherd then returns the lamb to the flock, and when the shepherd calls the sheep, 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 it is the bummer lambs that come first, because they know his voice. They know his voice and have learned to trust him. Okay, we can set Lammy away for a minute. Sometimes I think we are like those bummer lambs. Broken in spirit, life beats us up, and we feel rejected, alone, and forsaken. But then, through faith, Jesus comes into our lives and calls us by name. We start listening to his voice and learn to follow and trust him. And the Bible reminds us of the promise that I'd like to share with you this morning. Well, where's my clicker? Over here. The promise that I'd like to share with you this morning. Namely, the promise that God will never leave you or forsake you, and that nothing can ever separate you from the love of our good shepherd, Jesus. His promise is stunningly simple and yet amazingly profound. He will never leave us. But before I go any further, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father God, you are so good. I am humbled by your love, your mercy, your compassion, your faithfulness, and your care for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we do not need to be afraid or discouraged about anything, because you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will personally go ahead of us. Help us this morning to find our strength and our joy in you and your promises. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The phrase, "I will never leave you or forsake you," is found in both the Old and New Testament and is a biblical promise that speaks volumes about just who God is and his character. One of the most endearing parts of his character is the message of God's faithfulness, assurance of his presence, and support for his people. In addition to Deuteronomy and Joshua, this promise is emphasized in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews 13 and 5, very familiar verse, where it states, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Wherever it is found in the Bible, this promise is given to comfort and encourage believers, assuring them that God is with them in times of trouble, hardship, or uncertainty. It signifies God's unwavering commitment to his people, regardless of the circumstances they face. Personally, I find great solace and strength in this promise, especially during difficult times. Returning to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31 and 6 on the screen was written to encourage the people of Israel that they could trust God to lead them to victory. You may recall the background. Moses and Aaron had led the Israelites for 40 years through the desert wilderness, and now it was time to enter the promised land. However, Moses would no longer be the leader and was to pass his leadership onto Joshua. Just imagine having to follow Moses. No pressure, Joshua. But God assured him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Joshua would have to take the people into the country that the Lord had promised to his ancestors. That would be a great honor for him. Also, it would be a great responsibility. He would lead the Israelites in many battles against the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, and four other nations that I cannot pronounce, totaling over 14 million people, seven times the population of Israel. Quite the task. And afterwards, he would be responsible to divide the country so that each tribe had a portion of land as promised. But throughout all this, the Lord would lead Joshua and the Lord would help him. Therefore, he need not be afraid or dismayed, and he need not lose his courage. Sorry. I'm not crying. He need not be afraid or dismayed, and he need not lose his courage. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." Today, like Joshua, you and I may face many challenges and uncertainties in our own lives. It could be health issues, death of a loved one, financial setbacks, discouragement, relationship problems, or family issues. Whatever your challenge, God is with you as he was with Joshua. He goes before you and will never leave you nor forsake you. I know from personal experience, it can be tempting. It can be tempting to rely on our own strength, our own resources, or to become overwhelmed by fear, or just wanna give up. As David Jeremiah would say, can I get a witness? But Deuteronomy chapter 31 and Joshua chapter 1 calls us to a different response. To trust in God's constant presence and unfailing promises, and to find our courage and strength in him alone. Now, part of being strong and of good courage means trusting in the Lord as our true source of strength. In Joshua's case, he didn't have all the answers for the challenges before him, but he was counseled to go forward anyway, acting in faith. Like Joshua, we seldom have all the answers to our personal challenges and struggles. And like him, we too must move forward in faith. In this precious promise that God will never leave you, he is saying that he will never let you go, relax his hold on you, give up on you, abandon you, or desert you. I trust this will encourage you and give you a greater understanding of God's character, his faithfulness, commitment, and love for you. You can be confident and encouraged that God is with you and will always be with you. Now, do you remember what the shepherd did when he noticed the bummer lamb? He takes the lamb and he holds it close in his arms. He feeds it from his hand. He lets it sleep on his chest. This lamb, who was once shunned and pushed away, is no longer a bummer lamb, but is now the shepherd's lamb. We too were once bummer lambs, but when sin shunned us and pushed us away from God, from God's presence, the good shepherd picked us up and held us close in his arms. He gave his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. While we are the shepherd's lamb and accepted by God, in contrast, Jesus was forsaken by his Father when he took the sins of the world upon himself on the cross. The Worship Hymn, Amazing Love, describes this very well. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Such amazing love is incomprehensible to me. Okay, at this time, I'd like to briefly comment on how we can apply this wonderful promise to the daily ups and downs of our lives. So, how should we respond knowing God will never leave us? How should we live, or how should we respond knowing that God will never leave us? Well, I have a few suggestions for us to consider. You'll probably have others. First, we should respond with confidence. When you understand the promise of this verse, you should not only be encouraged that God will never leave you or forsake you, it should give you confidence about God's faithfulness, his provision, and his protection. Confidence that the sovereign God of the universe will do exactly what he says he will do, and that he will fulfill every single promise that he has made. Confidence that you will be with him forever. John 10, verses 27 and 28 states, my sheep, here we go back to the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hand. So we should live in confidence. We should respond in confidence. Secondly, we should respond in a spirit of thankfulness. Psalm 103, verse 2 states, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It is always best to count our blessings. An attitude of gratitude is the gateway to joy. Excuse me. So we should respond in confidence, with thankfulness, and thirdly, we should respond with praise and worship. Now, when it comes to praise and worship, I am reminded of that wonderful hymn. Don't worry, I won't insult your ears. I am not going to sing. I'm reminded of that wonderful hymn, Worthy of Worship, that states, our God is worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory. He is worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Praise and worship, this is not something that comes naturally to everybody. It doesn't come naturally to me. However, with confidence, with persistence, and the Holy Spirit's prompting, we can learn to praise and worship God in all things. And this is the challenge for us, to praise and worship in all things. It's a challenge for me. Praise and worship is our best weapon against Satan. When we praise God, we are showing both the heavenly hosts and the demons of darkness that our great God is worthy of praise and worship, no matter what our circumstances. Psalm 42, verse 5 reminds us that the praise of his people brings glory to God. In summary, as previously stated, today we face many challenges and struggles, and occasionally, we may find ourselves in a very dark place, as I did last year. More about that shortly. But in his time, God can turn our pain into purpose and our struggle into strength. Friend, God is with you. He goes before you. The God who promised to never leave Joshua is the same God who says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, I can't seem to get to the next slide. Thank you. So don't be afraid or discouraged. The God of all creation, a God beyond the limits of time and space, is in your corner. Be encouraged. Let's remember, too, through deep waters, God will be with us always, always working, pursuing the lost, restoring the broken, calming the anxious, comforting the lonely, encouraging the fearful, and forgiving the guilty. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a beautiful promise. I would be remiss this morning if I did not mention that this beautiful promise, as well as all of God's promises, like the one found in John 3:16. Let's see if it works. Oh, it works. I love technology when it works. So all of these promises, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. These promises are for those who have claimed Jesus as their Savior. So, if you are not sure this morning, that you are a believer and you would like prayer for this need or any need, we have prayer partners who would love to pray with you and for you. We count it a privilege. So please join us after this service in the prayer room. Very shortly, we are going to listen to a song entitled, "Not For a Moment Did I Forsake You." I'd like to draw your attention to a few words from the hymn. I'm going to highlight a few of them, and I'll explain why later. Okay. You were walking through the storm, walking on the water, even when I could not see. In the middle of it all, when I thought you were 1,000 miles away, not for a moment did you forsake me. Not for a moment did you forsake me. This song gave me much comfort. 2 years ago, I had cataract surgery. And I know, cataract surgery is supposed to be a breeze. But it sure wasn't for me. After my surgery, I could not see out of my left eye. I basically had vision. Talk much, Mary? I basically had vision in my right eye. And this journey continued for a period of time. And not could I not literally see, but spiritually, 6 months later, I found myself in a dark place, thinking that God was 1,000 miles away, and that perhaps he had left me and forsaken me. I felt like that little bummer lamb, abandoned and forsaken. Bummer lamb. I was in such a deep pit that I felt there was no way out. Dear friend, I want you to know that if you are in this place of despair, there is hope. It is only for a season, and you will come out victorious. Trust him. As previously stated, this song we are about to hear gave me great encouragement, and my prayer for you is that if you are in a very difficult place today, that you will remember in your mind, heart, body, and soul that God will never leave you or forsake you. Not for a moment. Let's listen.